is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
for the man.
Too much for the man. He couldn't make it.
So he's leaving the light. He's come to know.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
What's left of his world? The world he left behind. Not so long ago. He's leaving.
Leaving.
Don't y'all get super spiritual now.
Georgia. Yeah. Said he's going back.
Going back
to a simpler place and time. Oh, yes, he is. Now be with him.
I know you will.
Oh, let midnight change, Georgia.
Tell your neighbor, I've got to go. If y'all will stand with us, we're still in church, amen. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, on this Palm Sunday, y'all ought to be real happy today, because if you smell some food, we have Sister Leslie Robinson to thank, and guess what? There will be free food for everybody after church. If you like some good home cooking, you can go through to the fellowship hall and they will have to-go plates, amen, available for you. And amen. Enjoy and be blessed. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 19. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything. Is that right? Amen. Thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Verse 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak into our hearts and into our minds, God, a word that will remind us that you are God and you're God all by yourself. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. God bless you on this great and glorious day. Well, if you did not remember, I'm sure that by now many of you do remember that great theological parable sung by Gladys Knight and the Pips. It's the story of a man who left Georgia to pursue his dream of becoming a movie star in Los Angeles. While there, he falls in love with the singer of the song, and she falls in love with him. Her life was centered in LA, but his roots were in Georgia. He never comes close to reaching his dream of becoming a movie star. And so finally he decides to give it all up and return on the midnight train to Georgia. He sells all he has in order to purchase a one-way ticket back to Georgia. Gladys knows that he's not coming back to LA, and she has to decide to either say goodbye to him and remain with her family and friends, or say goodbye to family and friends to go and be with him. She declares several times, "I've got to go. I've got to go. I've got to go." And y'all, her reason is real simple. If you've heard the song and if you know the words of the song, her reason is real simple. She says, "I'd rather live in his world than live without him in mine." It cost her a lot to follow the one she loved. If you could have seen Jesus and the way he was moving the weeks before Palm Sunday, you may have asked Jesus, "Man, what's the rush? Sit down and chill out, be still for a minute." Jesus had his face turned toward Jerusalem and seemed as though he was fixated on getting there no matter the cost. On one occasion, the leaders who were very jealous of Jesus' popularity, they decided that they were going to kill him if he ever entered the city of Bethany again. The word was out that Jesus was on somebody's hit list. But then one of Jesus' friends in Bethany, you Bible readers will remember, got sick and needed Jesus' help. When Jesus told his disciples, he said, "I'm going to go and see about Lazarus back in Bethany," they were shocked. They said, "Now, Jesus, it was just a couple of days ago that the people tried to stone you to death, and now you want to go back? What's wrong with you?" Jesus' basic reply was, "I've got to go." They said, "Well, let's go, and if we have to, we'll die with him." A couple of days before Palm Sunday, Jesus was leading the way toward Jerusalem, knowing that a contract was out on his life. The disciples were astonished at his bravery. The other people following along behind were very afraid of what would happen next. Would they end up losing their lives because of Jesus? When they stopped to get some rest, Jesus took the 12 off by themselves. He said, "Now listen, brothers, we're going up to Jerusalem. I will be betrayed to the religious leaders. I will be condemned to death. I will be mocked. I will be spat upon. I will be whipped, and I will ultimately be killed. But that's all right, because in 3 days," I said, "in 3 days, I will rise from the dead." The disciples, who had no idea what Jesus meant by rising from the dead in 3 days, but they did understand about the whipping. They understood about dying. And no doubt the disciples said, "But Jesus, we don't have to go to Jerusalem. There are plenty of other places we could go, amen, and preach the gospel other than Jerusalem. Jesus, we hear there's a nice beach over in Capernaum. We hear, amen, there's a nice resort over in Jericho and Galilee. We can wait until things die down before going back to Jerusalem. You've escaped from the leaders before, and you can do it again. Let's just go somewhere else other than Jerusalem." And I can imagine Jesus looking at them and saying, "But brothers, you don't understand. I've got to go." Peter, one of the disciples, went so far as to say, "Never, Lord, this ain't gonna happen to you." And Jesus, the Bible says, looked at Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the things of God, but rather the things of men." Jesus said, "I've got to go." Now, the question ought to come to your minds this morning: why did Jesus have to go to Jerusalem? Suppose you had a week left to live. Where is it that you would just have to go? What is it that you would just have to do? What is it that, amen, what would you want to make sure was completed before you left? For Jesus, he had to go to Jerusalem because that's where God's will for his life was. Is there anybody in here today who understands that of all the places you may want to go, of all the places that you have choices to go, that the best place to go is in God's will? Is there anybody who found out that life is a lot easier when you walk in his will? Amen. I know we all have ideas about what we want to do and where we want to go and how we want to grow, but I have discovered in my life that I'm safest when I'm in the will of God. Even when danger is all around, I'm safer when I'm in the will of God. Even when folk are lying on me and talking about me, I'm safest when I'm in the will of God. And I've got to say, y'all, like Gladys, that I'd rather live in his world than live without him in mine. Am I by myself this morning? And in essence, that's what Jesus was telling his disciples. He was telling them that he would rather live in obedience to God's will and be in God's world than to seek to preserve his own life and God be missing from it. Every day, we're faced with choices. Some are real hard decisions that we have faced. Some seem insignificant, but they will change our lives in ways that we would never have imagined. Each choice comes with the price tag. Do I have a witness? Jesus could have decided to not go to Jerusalem next week. He knew what price he would have to pay. If he had decided to stay in Galilee, there would be no Palm Sunday. There would be no Holy Week. There would be no resurrection. There would be no Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. There would be no hope for us when we stand in the presence of God to give an account for the lives we've lived. But because of his love for us and his love for his Father, the Bible says Jesus went to Jerusalem. Y'all, when we make our choices, how much of a factor does wanting to be in God's will and God's world play in our decision making? Our decisions are always affecting someone else. Jesus' decision to get on that donkey on Palm Sunday is affecting us still today. It was a hard choice to make. Others attempted to discourage him from going where he felt he had to go. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but in my own life, oftentimes the easier option between choices is not the one God would have us to make. In the beginning, it's often easier to do wrong than it is to do right. Do I have a witness today? But it's when the consequence time comes. It's when payment comes that we always wish we had done the right thing the first time around. Somebody's a witness to that today. Whenever Jesus comes into a situation, there is a division among people in the way they respond to his presence. On this Palm Sunday, the Bible says Jesus rode into the city on a colt. Y'all, there were four groups of people, and I want y'all to think about which group you are in or which group you would have been in. There were four groups of people lining the way as Jesus made his way into town. First of all, there were those who thought so highly of Jesus that they laid down, the Bible says, their coats in the streets for the donkey to walk on. Their worship of Jesus involved a sacrifice of what belonged to them. They did not have to think long about what they would do to honor the Lord. They were saying, I've got to go and give him my best. They didn't know it at the time, but for many of them, that would be the last time they would see Jesus in person. But then there was a second group. There were those who would not take off their clothes and their coats, amen, but they were willing to cut branches from the palm trees, lay it on the roadway. Now, maybe they were thinking, one day I'll do better. Amen. I can't give 10% now, but maybe one day I'll do better. Amen. They were saying, I've got to go and present something. It wasn't much, but amen. Tell your neighbor, at least it was something. But then there's the third group. There were those who would shout, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But they wouldn't give anything else. Their worship of Jesus was limited to the words coming out of their mouths. That's why you can't be impressed by mouth service. You can't always be impressed by the folk who shout the loudest and sing, come on, help me up in here. You can't always, sometimes the best praise is just a silent stare up into heaven with your heart saying, Lord, I love you. Amen, amen, amen. But this group, they were limited to what was coming out of their mouths. They were saying, I've got to go and put my 2 cents worth in. All talk and no action. But they looked like they were doing the same thing as everybody else from a distance. All three of these groups were shouting the same thing, but with very different levels of commitment behind their words. Let me ask you this morning, what kind of commitment is there behind your words? What kind of commitment is there behind your shout? What kind of commitment is there behind your praise? Somebody said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I have to give him praise. But then the fourth group, there were those who were very angry because Jesus was getting all this attention. Amen, amen. They couldn't stand Jesus and they wanted him completely out of their lives. They were so bold as to tell Jesus to tell these people to be quiet. Tell them to stop treating you like you're some kind of God. My pastor used to say that the folk who were saying that didn't realize who was in the crowd. And my pastor, Reverend M.W. Harrison, used to say that the folk who were telling them to hush up and be quiet didn't realize some of the folk who were in that crowd. Reverend Harrison said, blind Bartimaeus, the one that Jesus opened his eyes so that he could see, he was in that crowd. And blind Bartimaeus said, I can't shut up. Reverend Harrison said that the woman with the issue of blood, amen, that Jesus, that said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made. She was in that crowd and she couldn't hush up. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but if I had been in that crowd, I would not be able to hold my peace. Where are my folk who can testify? He's been good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself, and I've got to give him praise. Jesus came riding into the city very late in the afternoon when the sun was probably just about to set on Palm Sunday. The trip ended, y'all, at the temple of God, and this is where I've been trying to get you to. Because even though the people were shouting all kinds of wonderful things about him as he rode down the Mount of Olives and into the city, Luke lets us know that Jesus ended his trip in tears. He knew that the majority of the crowd had no room for him in their lives or in their hearts. He knew that many of the people that day were just caught up in the moment. He knew when he arrived and saw what was taking place at the temple that the nation had given God a back seat in its life. When Jesus entered the temple, he did not hear people singing and praising God. He did not smell incense going up in worship. Instead, he heard the baying of sheep. He heard the neighing of goats. He heard the cooing of pigeons. He heard the noise of people arguing over money. He heard the noise of people arguing over the prices. And people were going through the temple area. They were using the temple as a shortcut to get from one part of town to the other part of town. He smelled the animals. Amen. And Jesus, the Bible says, he began to cry. Amen. Amen. But since it was near dark, he and the disciples went back out of the city of Jerusalem and spent the night in Bethany. The temple area covered some 30 acres of land. On top of Mount Zion, it consisted of two parts. There was the temple building itself, and then there were the temple courtyards. There was one area in the center of the temple that was reserved just for the priest. Only the priest could go into what was called the Holy of Holies. And then outside of that area was another area for the priest where he would live and where he would, amen, get his daily sustenance outside of that center area of the temple. And then there was another area where the women could go. That's as far as they could go. They couldn't go beyond this area. But then on the outer courtyard, there was an area for the Gentiles who believed. They could not go any further than that outer area. And it was in that outer area that all these folk, because one thing that was required is that every Jewish man 20 years and older, they had to pay a temple fee. And they would go in to pay the temple fee. Amen, amen. And so some of them were Greek, so they had Greek money. Some of them were Jewish, so they had Jewish money. Some of them were Roman, so they had Roman money. But you could only pay the temple fee in Jewish money. So there were money changers set up in that outer area of the temple. And if you had Greek money or if you had Roman money, you would go to the money changers and say, I need to turn this into Jewish money. And those money changers were cheating folk out of their money. And many times they would be arguing over the price and the fee. And Jesus heard all of that and he got angry. And the Bible says he got a stick and he went and he turned over the tables. He turned over the tables where the doves were being sold. He turned over the tables of the money changers. He said, you turned my father's house into a den of thieves, and it ought to be a house of prayer. I come by today to tell you that Jesus said, I've got to get to Jerusalem because I got to set my father's house in order. And I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but I'm glad that Jesus